Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Carolyn Glick, an extraordinary resource in the war of ideas, a columnist for the Jerusalem Post, the author of two extraordinary books, Shackled Warrior, Israel and the Global Jihad, and The Israeli Solution, a one-state plan for peace in the Middle East. Carolyn, it is always a delight to have you with us. Thank you very much for finding a few minutes for us. You have been contributing mightily to our understanding of what is going on in the Middle East at the moment, as well as the U.S.-Israeli relationship. And I wanted to take stock with you about something you've written recently about the Hamas war and the lessons that should be learned both by Israel and, I would argue, by the rest of us. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, last week, the headlines in Israel were dominated by the government's controller report on the war between Israel and Hamas that took place in the summer of 2014. And the report itself was centered mainly on Israel's tactics for combating Hamas's underground tunnel complex that were used to penetrate into Israeli territory from Gaza. And the larger issue of the nature of the war itself was really disregarded by the controller in this report that was supposed to be the last word on the war, but it hid more than it revealed, because you can't understand what happened in that war without understanding it in the strategic context of regional developments in the Middle East and in terms of American-Israel relations under the Obama administration.
Let's talk very quickly about a couple of those regional developments, because they have very significant implications. The rise of Iran, thanks to Barack Obama's transfer of over $100 billion, and its activities now increasingly in Syria. It's been described as a sort of Shiite crescent. But it also has apparently caused considerable concern on the part of Israel about what Iran and its proxy Hezbollah are up to in proximity to the Israeli border with Syria. Give us a flavor of how that looks from your perspective.
The thing is that as part of Obama's appeasement of Iran, one of the things that he was doing was shielding its proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas, in 2014, as well as its ally, the Muslim Brotherhood, from any sort of military defeat at the hands of Israel in 2014 and since. And so the Obama administration during that war was really siding with Hamas against Israel. And that was really the context that the war was fought in, with Israel trying to fight with the Americans, siding with our enemy in time of war. And then in regards to what's happening today, you know, we see that Netanyahu is flying to Russia tomorrow to meet with Vladimir Putin to discuss developments in the southern Golan Heights, because the Iranians and Hezbollah have been trying to take over the border area with Israel to develop another conventional threat against Israel from Syria along the lines of what they have in southern Lebanon. And that would be a real complication for Israel in terms of our national security. We have a land border with Iran, essentially, in Lebanon, and then we expand it to Syria. So he's going to Moscow tomorrow to try to convince Vladimir Putin to prevent that from happening.
Carolyn, what is the latest on the Jordanian king's hold on power?
Well, you know, Jordan is really a protectorate of the United States and of Israel. I mean, the Hashemite Kingdom owes its existence to Israel's willingness to protect it and to American deployment of its forces, its special forces in Jordan. Today, Jordan's population over the past decade has expanded by a third, from 4 million to 6 million, with 2 million refugees from Iraq and from Syria, and God only knows what their allegiances are to. So they face a panoply of threats to their own existence inside of Jordan. And this is part of the wider context, which is that the Sunnis, it was King Abdullah of Jordan who coined the term the Shiite crescent extending into the Levant from Iran during the Iraq war, when he was talking about how the United States were taking this sort of facile attitude towards Iran's operations inside of Iraq during the war, and warning against it. And his warning was borne out, in fact. And so just to backstop for a second, so the 2014 war, the Sunnis recognized that they were facing a threat from the Muslim Brotherhood and from Iranian proxies to their existence. We saw it, of course, in the Egyptian revolution and counter-revolution, with the Muslim Brotherhood rising and falling within the space of a couple of years in Egypt, and the United States backing the Muslim Brotherhood. So we're seeing this massive destabilization of the Sunni Arab world since 2011. And all of the regimes that are most allied in the United States and camp traditionally with Saudis, the Jordanians, the Egyptians, and others in the Gulf in particular, are facing devastating threats, both from Sunni jihadists, Salafists, and also from the Iranians, that are very destabilizing and endanger really not only Israel, of course, and the Sunnis, but also the wider world, because to the extent that these people are able to control territory in the Middle East, they have used in the past, continue to use today, and will use to the future these bases of operations as a means to penetrate into the West and to endanger Western interests and national security.
Yeah, very ominous indeed. Our guest is Carolyn Glick of the Jerusalem Post. She is also a senior fellow for Middle East Affairs at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I'm very pleased to say a visiting and much valued colleague of ours at the Center for Security Policy as well. Carolyn, when you look at this, vortex of instability, you mentioned Egypt, and one of the places where we've seen some relief, really, from the growing danger to Israel has been the el-Sisi regime's seeming determination to cooperate with Israel. That's being sorely tested now in Sinai, and the threat that we're seeing to both countries, really, from various factions of the sort of global jihad movement, the Sharia supremacists there. Would you just give us an update on what's happening in the Sinai at the moment?
Well, I mean, you know, and that again goes back to your original question about my column last Friday, which is that, you know, the most extraordinary thing from a regional perspective that happened during the war between Israel and Hamas was that Egypt and then Saudi Arabia and the UAE sided openly with Israel in that war against Hamas. And they did because Hamas is the logistical partner and operational partner to varying degrees over time with the Salafist Islamic State terrorists in the Sinai, and that are endangering, that are waging a war against the Sisi regime in Egypt. So that Hamas is very much part of that whole jihad caliphate empire that wants to take over the Islamic world and wants to take over the world. And they understood that if Israel failed to stand up to Hamas and broke down in any way and gave it anything that it could consider a victory in that war, then they would all be imperiled by them. So they openly stood with Israel. And today we are seeing an unprecedented amount of military cooperation between the Israeli military and the Egyptian military in countering the Salafist forces in the Sinai. And so, yeah, we do see an enormous amount of operational cooperation between Israel and Egypt. And again, you know, so long as, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Sisi could fall. The most populous Arab country, 90 million people in Egypt, could really become a vortex of something very, very ugly. So I think it's a very primary Israeli interest and American interest to protect the Sisi regime and to help Sisi to fight and to emerge victorious in this war in the Sinai and also in northern, and also in along the Libyan border, you know, because Libya also has been taken over and been transferred into this failed state where you have ISIS in charge of very large swaths of Libyan territory, so a former Libyan territory.
Again, in part, a function of the Obama legacy.
It is all the Obama legacy, and it's important to keep these in mind and bear them in mind. And I think a turning point in that was 2014 war between Israel and Hamas. And we have to learn the lessons of that war going forward, both from an Israeli perspective and from an American perspective, because understanding what happened 3 years ago is really a key to understanding what we need to be doing going forward in terms of containing with the goal of destroying these terror enclaves in the Middle East.
Indeed. Carolyn Glick, we have to let you go with that. Thank you very much, as always, for all that you do to inform and educate the rest of us. I congratulate you once again on Shackled Warrior and The Israeli Solution. Required reading, folks. Next up, Joseph Humeyer joins us to talk about how Hezbollah is not just a threat to Israel, but to us here in the United States as well. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.